Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny, yesterday, the losing streak did reach 7, but the Commanders played one of the more entertaining games in Week 13 in the NFL, taking the number one seed in the AFC as of this moment, the 10-2 Broncos, to overtime. They fought hard. They played a much more competitive, entertaining football game. I've got no venom. I liked everything about yesterday. There were some things we can get into that either they didn't do well or some coaching question marks or what have you. But the fact that they're now 6th in the NFL draft order, the fact that they gave the Broncos all they could handle, the fact that the offense with Terry McLaurin back looked way, 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 way better, and they did some really good things that, frankly, almost nobody else has been able to do against the number one defense in the league, the fact that the defense has made it 2 much stronger games in a row since Joe Witt lost his play-calling duties and Dan Quinn took over. Things are looking up for the Burgundy and Gold as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, Terry McLaurin coming back was fun to watch. Just a reminder that, you know, when healthy, when he's right, he can be pretty effective. That was really cool for him. Even on a pitch count, you could still see he was a point of emphasis for this offense. So for me, watching this game, and I recognize I'm different than everybody else. I see something that doesn't make sense to me. I can't let it go. Other people can kind of let it get lost in the sauce and watch and enjoy. Of my checklist of things that I wanted, I got a lot of them. You just mentioned it. Had they won, would have been catastrophic. They'd pick a 10th or 11th, depends on your math. I'd have to go check the latest up-to-date Tankathon-type rankings in terms of opponent win percentage, and then it's an inverse. So you would have been 10th or 11th and going in the wrong direction. There's a couple bad teams made the mistake of winning this past Sunday. But I saw a group that did show some improvement, that fought, as you said. That was probably their best overall football game of the year against a quality opponent. I was pretty impressed with both sides of the ball. They moved the ball. They were better on the ground against Denver than they'd been in months, it felt like. Defensively, they were, again, not great, because I don't think they have great. I don't think they have that gear, but they were pretty good. The things that will frustrate me forever until they're different, the amount of Zach Ertz featuring, 13 targets for an oft-injured veteran on his final year of a deal. Benson, they can't get a target, played, I think, 10 snaps, 12 snaps, 17% of snaps. They can't feature Jalen Lane. Johnny Newton is sitting there behind a bunch of aging veterans. I'm not asking for crazy stuff, by the way. Just more playing time for second-round picks from last year. And maybe if an emphasis on that, maybe it happens as the season goes. But there was a lot of boxes checked yesterday.
Yeah, I think a lot of the things you're asking for, you'll get more of in a few weeks as we get closer to the finish line. We're still about a third of the way left in this race. You know, it's not even December 1st as they're playing that game yesterday. And there are 6 games in a 17-game schedule left. They're not going to completely just flip a switch and punt and start playing all the kids, although I wouldn't mind that. It's just not how the reality of the league works, obviously. We'll spar for the next 5 weeks over whether or not it would have been catastrophic to win the game, because I just disagree with the idea that this team that has not won in 7 games now and in 8 or 9 weeks, whatever it is, technically, you know, that them winning a game, I'll save the word catastrophic for other things, frankly. I don't think it would have been that damaging, because whether they end up picking 5th or 8th or 11th when you don't have a quarterback and the best thing to do is to trade down, I'm not sure if it's as huge a difference. I think it will be a difference, but it's not as huge a difference maybe as if they were looking for a quarterback and they needed to get as high as possible when they were taking Daniels or May or Williams when they were trying to get up to number two. But again, we've got 5 weeks to spar over that, and I'm sure we will go round and around. But specific to last night, the product was just so much better. This is what I have been wanting, really, for many, many weeks. When you play a good football team, look like you belong. And I think the fact that they're getting healthier now is the reason for what we got to see yesterday. Let's talk offense for a moment. Terry McLaurin got 14 targets and 7 catches for 96 yards and a touchdown. And that does not even account for the 30-yard post he ran, taken on contact at the goal line to what would have been Tyre win the game early on in OT when they would come back down the field and score again on a Terry McLaurin slant. So just, it could have easily been 8 for like 115.
Yeah, just to add a little color to that, he only played 51% of snaps on a pitch count. Understandable, by the way, because last time they just said, okay, go play a full game, he ended up hurt and missed another month and a half. So he basically received a target on 1/3 of the snaps he was in.
Which is pretty amazing.
Which is an astounding amount.
Now, I will say 50% of snaps last night is basically a normal game's worth because they ran 85 plays, which was the most that they have run since 2016 in the London game against the Bengals. Partially because of going to overtime, but really more accurately because they converted 8 third downs, because they went on really long drives. They did it, by the way, in the hardest way possible against the number one defense in the NFL. I said before the game, we were talking about this, it's impossible to go on these long 10, 11, 12, 13 play drives against the Broncos. If you have to do that, you will not have any chance. And they did it time and time and time again. It was a really, really incredible offensive plan by Cliff Kingsbury. That worked. I know Mariota threw one egregious interception that everybody will talk about, and you're allowed to. It's one of the 85 plays, and it was a very, very heavily weighted play. It was me after Thanksgiving dinner. Having said that, he low-key cooked otherwise. I mean, he throws for almost 300 yards. He runs for 55 yards against the number one defense in the league. But you can just see the difference, Danny, when you have Terry McLaurin out there. What it does for Zach Ertz, suddenly getting more man coverage and then running some of those zone beaters where there's not as much attention paid to him on some of those deep overs where he's crossing the field, getting hit for 21 and 19 yards on a couple of big-time plays. Great throws from Mariota, layered over top of defenders. The game changes a little bit. You get an opportunity to run Deebo Samuel, who is just kind of forgotten because when you line him out as a receiver and you run him down the field on a go ball, nobody really thinks you're targeting him. And they hit that 38-yarder down to the one-yard line because they're paying extra attention and bracketing Terry McLaurin, who's been featured throughout the second half. The offense changes. He really is truly a game-changer for them. And we've talked off and on about, like, who's the injury that killed them the most outside of Jaden Daniels? And I've mentioned Dietrich Wise, who they're, you know, couldn't set the edge after he was lost. People will bring up Austin Eckler. The answer is obviously Terry McLaurin. You just saw it last night. They're such a different offense, and it gives you some real hope when you get Daniels back, whether that's against the Vikings or the Giants. And more importantly, let's be honest, in 2026, if you have Terry out there and you have a true legitimate threat at wide receiver, this thing's going to look very, very different.
The best way I can explain it is, or the way I thought about it, is bad defenses became very good against Washington. Now, the overall numbers weren't that horrendous, but you could see it was a very pedestrian group. Every inch was fought for. It was nuclear fusion with chopsticks, right? Where they had to negotiate everything. Every window was tighter than all hell. They couldn't run the football against terrible defenses like Chicago or Dallas or any of the others because there was no threat. There was a threat yesterday. There was absolutely a threat, even with the great Patrick Surtain back there. That kid, by the way, is unbelievably good.
Best
My God, what a
baller. League.
What a baller he is.
Probably not that close right now. That's cornerback one.
Yeah, I think that's pretty safe to say. And if there's someone else great, good for him too. That guy's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But you could see the difference. I think you said it very well. The even if you weren't going over the top, and they did a couple different times, maybe they fell in love with it to a degree because I think they're running it so well. Maybe there was more things they could have done that weren't taking shots, but they were pretty determined. They had a plan and they stuck to it. I was so impressed with that competitiveness and the ability to rally after the bye week. I know they're pros and they're supposed to be able to do that, but human nature, man. A really good team's coming to town. Your season's lost. You're terrible. Everybody knows you're terrible, and everyone's making fun of you or the punchline. They stayed in that game and kept counterpunching, and there was no rollover in them, which you could easily see happening when a first-place team from the AFC comes to town with that vice-like defense. So it was impressive.
Yeah. I just, it was... it warmed the heart to see them play a good team well. When you played the Denvers a month ago, it was 44-22. Now, it should also be acknowledged, Bo Nix is somewhat limited, watching him in person for the first time yesterday. And I think the Denver offense is a keep-you-in-the-game offense. This is how they've played every single game all year long. They are the first team in the history of the league, by the way, to trail in all 12 of their first 12 games and to have a record where they've won at least 10 times. And they constantly do this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This in the fourth quarter, where they steal a game from the Giants, where they beat the Colts at the horn, where they beat the Chiefs at the horn. Now they beat Washington in overtime. This is what they do. This is their game, and this is a league with tiny margins where you either make the winning play or you don't, and the team that always does, Denver, is 10-2, and the team that just hasn't in games like Chicago and Miami and this one, Washington, is 3-9, and instead of being 6-6 and a wild card hopeful, your season is now completely over. But credit the Broncos. They always make the winning plays. I think they are well coached. Nick shows up in the big moments when he has to. He was excellent on that five-play drive in overtime where they go right down the field for 76 yards. They get finally get their first huge explosive of the game where they get Evan Engram working on Bobby Wagner. He does a little whip route, leaves Wagner in his dust, and then runs for 41 yards. But I thought we got our answer to, was this defensive improvement just about Miami, or is there something to this? There's clearly something to this.
There's something to it.
I wouldn't want to be Joe Witt right now because it looks so much better and so much different without him calling the plays. I'm not saying everything's fixed. It's not going to be fixed. They have real problems on defense that you cannot fix until the offseason. They have personnel issues. You don't have linebackers that can run with tight ends. In this league, that's a death sentence. You don't have speed in the, you know, the second level of your defense. In this league, that is going to make you not very good on that side of the ball. They can't really set edges, something the Broncos, with their run game and their injury to J.K. Dobbins, weren't going to take much advantage of yesterday. Their strengths on defense are few and far between. But now you're just a professional outfit that's not going to be great on defense. Which is not a crime, by the way.
Right.
There's a lot of those defenses out there.
If they had this whole year where they were middle of the pack on defense, it's a very different season.
100%.
Even with all the injuries and all the different things on offense that didn't go right.
If you play the game you played yesterday against the Vikings and Max Brosmer or J.J. McCarthy, they score in the teens and you win the game. If you play the game they played either against Miami or Denver yesterday against the Giants in a couple weeks, you probably turn Jackson Dart over a couple times. The Giants might have 20 points. And you win that football game. Like, that's the difference between yesterday and what became the norm when they were the first team in 23 years to lose by 20 or more points for a month straight.
Yeah, you can go back and look at it. If you played that way against the Falcons, I think you probably win that game. By the way, the Falcons, good heavens. But you go back and look at the Dallas game. If you played that way against Dallas, that's a good offense with good pieces, right? But maybe you're in that game. You got a chance to win it. You know, I don't think you beat Seattle that day. I don't think you beat Detroit that day the way that they were playing. Kansas City, probably the same deal. You lose a one-score game on the road to a team with Savvy and Moxie, et cetera. But again, it's a different season. We're talking about a far more competitive product instead of a group that got outscored by almost 100 points over a handful of weeks. You're talking about it just a different team, different year. And this is just one of those, bummer, we were that close, just a couple of breaks didn't go our way, instead of the, this was a meltdown, this was the worst case scenario. Which scenario, Danny? All of them. Every single thing that could have gone wrong did, and not just kind of wrong. It went as wrong as ever been.
Ertz went off 10 for 106 on 13 targets. He was awesome. He had three plays, though, where, and this is the most Zach Ertz thing ever, where your athleticism being limited and some of the I guess we just say limitations for him.
Yep.
You know, show up. We're deep down the field. Now, ball hung in the air a little too long, and then Alex Singleton made an amazing play to punch the ball out. What would have been a huge play to set up a field goal in the fourth quarter. By the way, that's Alex Singleton's story. He's an all-timer. This linebacker for the Broncos. This is the same guy, by the way, that played an entire game with a torn ACL last year. 23 days from having a mass removed and testicular cancer. He was on the field flying around last night and made maybe the play of the game defensively for the Broncos against Ertz. Then he has the play back in the end zone where he can't make the catch. He had it didn't end up mattering, but he had a play where he fell just short of the sticks again. So, like, those are those things that people that don't like the Ertz experience, which is kind of a them problem, they're going to focus on those three plays. Where I come from, when you have 10 catches for 106 yards as a tight end in the NFL, and the offense kind of goes through you, and your offense scores 26 to almost knock off one of the best defenses in the league, I'm going to tip my cap to you. But he goes for 100. McLaurin goes for 96. Debo, because of the 38-yard play, goes for 64. I like that they got Colson Yankoff involved. He's an athletic guy at the tight end position. That 14-yard catch he made was a pretty nice play. The one thing I'll say about Ertz that I didn't get is they designed this tight end screen to him that was kind of DOA, pretty obviously. That's just not a play that you should run for Ertz. That's where, if you're running a tight end screen there, just go ahead and put Ben Sinnott out there or give that to Yankoff with his speed. It's kind of what he did at UCLA. This is a guy that lined up at running back some for the Bruins in college. So I didn't really get that usage. But they ran a play from on a first and 10 to start a drive from under center with 13 personnel where they went play action, roll out, and hit Terry McLaurin for a 16-yard explosive. Be still, my beating heart.
You must have been so excited.
I mean, I just about ripped my shirt off in the press box.
There were 16 targets to tight ends, and Ben Sinnott didn't get one. I can't. Other people can, and they can move on, and they'll be able to talk about it. Or not care, and just talk about everything else. I just can't get over it.
2-3 weeks from now, I'll join you in anger. It's just not the time of the season where I'm going to go crazy about that. I don't like it, but there's a difference between endorsing it, which I'm not doing, or liking it and being angry
and my thing,
about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, not being able to let it go.
Like, you have an axe to grind, and you've now got this thing that you're obsessing over. I'm just not going to join you there, but in 3 weeks we'll be in the same place anyway if Ben Sinnott is still not involved.
I think that's fair. Everyone's welcome to join me, or not, or yell at me, whatever it is. Again, I'm not saying he needs 13 targets. One would be nice. Let's go crazy and get two. The little tight end screen thing you mentioned, or that rollout with 13 personnel couldn't go to him. Would have been nice. I'd love to see the second round pick play. I know that's novel and crazy for a team that's 3-9, but I digress. But overall,
speaking of second round picks, really quickly,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to make like this grandiose comment on this because I have not gone back and watched all 22 on this. But I can't. There were at least two or three times where I noticed Johnny Newton just getting blown off the ball in the run game last night. Now a couple of them happened in a drive where he ended up having a really nice pressure as well. But we might be at a point with him where it's kind of helping in the passing game or not helping that much because he's an undersized defensive tackle.
Yep.
There's clearly a reason why they don't play him that much. So this is something to dive in on. But he was the 36th pick in the draft. So I think your point is perfectly reasonable when you're saying, okay, guys, we're 3-9 here. There's five games to go. Johnny Newton, Ben Sinnott. There's other guys we could name.
Sure.
Like Brandon Coleman would be one of them.
Yeah, a little bit more Jordan McGee. Turn that fader up. Again, they don't have
flashed again last night.
They don't have a ton of young pieces. So I'm not talking about like, you know, going full, hey, Wizards, call up the G League. They don't have that. There simply aren't players that I'm really that interested in. There's a handful, and those guys don't get opportunities.
Speaking of Brandon Coleman, though, I do want to mention, I thought the O-line was awesome last night.
For sure.
In pass protection. Yeah. This is the group that has close to 20 more sacks than any other team in the NFL coming in, and you would not have known it. They had one in the game. Some of it is Mariota's decisiveness, and I do give him credit for this as a veteran quarterback. I think generally he's pretty good at setting protections. The ball comes out pretty fast, and he deserves to be respected for that. But if you look at some of the next-gen stats numbers, and I posted this at Grant H. Paulson on Twitter if you want to go find it, the Broncos got pressure 17% of the time, which was their lowest pressure rate since Week 3, 2023, in that game where they gave up 70 points to the Miami Dolphins. And then if you look at some of the individual matchups, Laremy Tunsil on one of the best pass rushers in the league, Nick Benito. Now, I think he was wearing a cast, and he complained about it after the game affecting him. But still, two pressures on 28 matchups, so Tunsil dominated him. Jonathan Cooper did not get a single pressure in 26 matchups against Josh Connerly, who, despite the hold that took away the McLaurin touchdown, which as a lineman, heavy lies the crown here, this is what happens, everyone will kill you for. Mm. But he was really, really good in pass pro. And then Sam Cosmi, one pressure on 55 pass blocks against the interior. That's a really, really good interior.
Yeah, they're good at everything.
So you're starting to see this group ascend, come together. This is the planned five. They got to find a way to keep these guys intact going into next season because it could be a real strength for them.
So to me, one part plan, which was we know when our shots are going to be there, and those are the ones you need to block up, right, to give the receiver time to make a move, et cetera. The other part is enough of the quick game that, and it was accessible quick stuff, because it's one thing just to say, throw it quickly. Do you have somewhere to go? Does the read take you there? Does the play design leave something open almost automatically? It did a lot. But to me, it was the way they ran the ball. I did not expect that at all. I did not expect them to be able to run it as effectively, especially on the interior. I mean, they were shoving it on Denver for a decent amount. Again, it wasn't one of those Ravens where, you know, Derrick Henry has 160, some guy you never heard of has 55.
Ahead of the chains, man.
But it was ahead of the chain stuff. It was 4.5, 5.5 yards on first down consistently, and they were really, really good in that regard. Just nothing fancy either. It wasn't like super well-designed, great comeback, cutback counter, this, that, and the other. This was, to me, a lot of power football, and they ran it really, really well in that game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.